Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Weekends were made for sports.
Now do the robot voice. I want to hear it again.
Meet more, sir, robot.
That's a terrible robot voice.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Where are the turtles? Where are the turtles?
Come on, guys, get out of here.
Where are the turtles?
And Rashad Taylor.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour two of two here on Sports Sunday. Mike, Rashad, Joe with you until 11 o'clock. If you missed the first hour, you'll find it on the Les Schwab Tires podcasts on 1080thefan.com and the radio.com app. Yes, you will, Joe. Don't shake your head no at me. coming up this hour, we do have Hate It or Love It coming up at 10:30. And we got a little NBA Hall of Fame or Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame discussion coming up next. But to wrap up a little bit of the sports, no fans conversation. WrestleMania is going on this weekend. It was pre-taped. It was taped actually during the pandemic. I remember there was talk of them not doing it. I didn't remember seeing the final choice. So I guess this is me seeing the final choice as they taped it, but with nobody in the audience. And it's a little bit strange, right? It's I'm not watching it, obviously, but you have been. So how, is it weird watching it with no fans?
I'm sorry.
What?
I've seen one clip, and it was just enough for me to be like, nope.
Well, nope. So, WrestleMania is something that, if you've been listening to the show long enough, you know it's something that I watch every year. It's the biggest wrestling event of the year. You know,
it's cousins, not normally 2 days, right?
No, it's normally just one. And so... the cool part is the matches aren't bad. It's just that you find out, you know, how awkward it is to do these things with no crowd participation. You know, so much of what sports is just in itself is crowd participation. You know, defense, you know, those are, let's go Blazers. Those are things that the crowd does to get people. And it looks good. It sounds good. You know, when you're watching these things, even
it's part of the experience.
Thinking back to Sacramento and those annoying ass cowbells back then, it was just a part of the aesthetic of, you know, being at the game and everything. And now watching this, it's not bad. It's just, it's strange. Like there's no reaction. You can tell the guys are still playing towards the crowd and still, like, once they do something, still looking for that reaction.
I was going to ask that because, you know, a lot in wrestling is about pumping up the crowd and, you know, playing the heel or playing the hero or whatever. Are they still like,
there's still a bit of it,
like
that
hand to the ear motioning, like out of habit, or is it just you see them looking towards it?
Well, no, I saw one wrestler on like the turnbuckle holding the belt, like presenting it to the crowd like they normally do. And I'm like, who are they doing that for? I guess just for the optics to make it again seem normal,
just for the shots and everything. So I think about that. I th- I think there's certain sports that you could go no crowd for, but I think this is one of those because there's because it's so physical, because again, the crowd is such an important part of what they do. It's just, it's not fun to watch. I'll be honest. It's just, I haven't seen an episode of wrestling, and my son watches it every Monday and Wednesday. And so he'll come in there and show me certain things. And honestly, I haven't seen an episode since they decided to start social distancing, just because it's just,
are they still doing new things every week?
They are still doing, they're recording from their performance centers and whatnot.
See, that's a little surprising to me because, I mean, that's not really social distancing then.
It's not.
Because,
it's not.
I mean, the wrestlers get sweaty and there's, you know, droplets.
It's the complete
and,
opposite. It's body-to-body contact.
So that's a little, like, that's the same thing UFC. And I ripped UFC apart when they made the announcement originally to keep going. It was like, what are you, this is the sport that would spread the disease.
So I interviewed a lady named Heather Standing, and she is a matchmaker for cage sport here in like the Northwest and stuff like that, as far as MMA and stuff like that. And they had an actual event this past Saturday. And I was kind of like, really? Like, you had an event? She's like, yeah, there was no one there. No one came. So it was just the fighters. And I was kind of like, well, was there any like trepidation from the fighters as far as saying, yeah, I don't want to do this, or I'm not going to do this? Because we've also talked to a lot of fighters that are like, yeah, I'm not working out right now. Or if I'm working out, I'm just doing push-ups. I'm shadow boxing. But I'm not sparring or anything right. Like that. So if guys aren't sparring, then I can imagine they're not actually wanting to be in competitions. But
it's like this weird bravado of like, we're fighting and we're tough, so we're going to get past this. And it's
Well, this is more Vince McMahon than anything, because.
Well, you're saying this was a local thing, Tim.
This is a local thing for them.
But it's that kind of personality.
Yeah, it was a little strange that they said they actually had the show. But again, my next question was, well, what was it like to have a show with no one there? You know, with no one in the crowd, like, I'm sure that couldn't have been beneficial monetarily for anybody that was a part of it, you know? So she was like, yeah, it was difficult and it was incredibly hard. And, you know, there are things that happen and usually there's a reaction to certain stuff, and you can tell guys kept kind of waiting for that reaction from somebody and it never happened. So yeah, I can imagine it would be tough doing this, like fighting and wrestling, because it just doesn't look good because it is so much based in entertainment, right? Like UFC wrestling, man, that's sports entertainment in most cases. Like, I think it could work for basketball, you know, because in basketball you still got guys chattering, you still got guys on the bench that are talking, you still got stuff. You won't have a crowd, but I think if you played at everybody's practice facility or something like that and just kept it to 10 guys in a roster, like how many rosters actually play 12 to 13 guys a night? Very few of them.
But then, right? But still, you're getting to the point of, okay, so that's, let's just say you're saying 10, that's 20 people for the teams, right? You've got coaches.
You can add two assistants and a head coach.
Okay. You're up to 26. You've got refs.
That three of them.
You're three or four of them. You're up to 30. You've got people in the building, right? Whether that's training staff or
one team trainer and a doctor.
Workers.
For each team.
You're already up to 35, 40 people. I mean, you can't do that right now. That's why the NBA idea was so weird to me was, oh, when you can't gather in groups, we're just going to put all of our group and put a bubble around them together, but every team's going to be in Vegas and all the coaches and all the reps and all the training staffs. And of course they were saying, and of course immediate family can come to the games. I mean, that's way too many people in a situation like this. They're saying groups no larger than like 7 or 8. And that's even being generous. Like, you're supposed to only see like 3 people at a time at most. And that's even being shunned down at the moment. And people are saying, oh, we'll put some, no fans still means people, right? It still means a group of people that at the moment is a larger than the recommended amount. And I agree with you. We watched it in baseball a couple of years ago when Baltimore was having the riots. I think it was Baltimore and Detroit were playing, and it was in Camden Yards and there were no fans, and it was cool because it was different, but it was weird. It was really, really weird. And as a fan, I want sports back. And if we had to have sports back with no fans and it was a healthy, smart thing to do, then I would, of course, accept that. But selfishly, I don't want to watch sports without fans.
Yeah, it's
because it just takes away so much from the fun of the game. It takes away from the atmosphere. I can't imagine, as a Yankee fan, watching Aaron Judge hit a home run at Yankee Stadium and silently walk around the bases, run around the bases. No cheering, no booing, no nothing, no buzz from the crowd, just the crack of the bat. Maybe he goes, F yeah, and they got to bleep it or whatever, and then that's it. I mean, it'd be a novel thing to watch for a week, like, oh, well, this is kind of fun. You get to hear the banter. And then after a while, you'd be like, yeah, I'm kind of sick of this.
No, yeah, it would get really old really fast. And that's what I tried to watch that first episode of, you know, of wrestling, you know, just with no fan. And it's difficult. And I can't really do it. And so to watch WrestleMania without, I asked my son if he watched it. I was like, did you see it? And he was like, yeah, I saw some of it. I was like, you don't want to watch it? I was like, no, it was boring. I was like, really? My son's 8, you know? Yeah. And so if my 8-year-old son feels like that, then I can imagine, you know, guys like me and Joe who are, you know, in our late 20s and into our 30s are like, yeah, this is trash.
And I have, over the last couple of years, like, resurged back into wrestling somewhat. I stopped watching it from, like, 7th grade up until a couple of years ago. And then I watch these pay-per-views with a couple friends, kind of hear some things from coworkers. But yeah, I caught a clip last night of a match and where the wrestler was yelling at the referee to count faster. And it was like clearly audible. You could hear the conversation, the ref going back, and it's just dead silent underneath them. And usually you have all this crowd noise, things happening to where it masks all that. So it looks like they're just arguing. But you literally heard word for word what they're saying. And when you watch these clips of them in front of the empty crowds, you realize how much of an acting, like, drama show this is. And we haven't even gotten to the match between The Undertaker and AJ Styles, which was literally filmed cinematically like a damn straight-to-DVD horror movie.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not kidding you, Mike. You need to go and look at clips.
It was kind of cool, though. Like, that was the one match that was kind of cool, but at the same time, it was like, okay, this is hokey, though. This is corny.
When you say straight-to-DVD horror movie, like shaky camera, yes, like going around the ring.
Yes.
Like
they're in a graveyard or something like
now
that.
Now You See Me. What's the name of that? The movie with Kane, and he was the monster.
Yeah.
It's kind of like.
Wait, there's a movie with the wrestler Kane as a villain?
Yeah. Yes.
It's actually pretty creepy.
Is it?
Yeah. It's called Now You See Me. No, not Now You See Me. Relatively it's something creepy. Something about eyes. I can't remember what it is, but I'll figure it out.
But no, Mike, you should go back.
Citizen Kane, that's it, right?
That's bingo.
There was plenty of people who enjoyed it, but I think that's also just a matter of, like, we'll take anything we can get.
Right, right, of course. All right, we got a break. Coming up next, let's get into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class, which will likely go down as the best ever, although there is one other class that had a quite good group of players in it. That is next here on Sort of Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
We've been intermittently blessed with some news in the sports world. Yeah, NFL free agency came out and helped a lot. And this was Friday. It was late Friday. It was kind of a weird news dump. They could have probably waited until like tomorrow and actually given a full week. Well, I mean, it was like Friday at like 4. It was like, you know, that's not a great time to drop some sports news, although I guess nothing really matters at this point. But the Naismith Hall of Fame class added to its list of people getting in with the NBA players who are going to be going in. And it will arguably be the greatest Hall of Fame class we may ever see. Now, we don't know what's going to look like in the future and what great players are going to come down and out and all that kind of stuff. But Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett will be inducted to the Hall of Fame this year, same year. And there's only two classes in the history of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame that I think compare to that. Now, all the classes include coaches and the WNBA as well. This year, you're going to get Tamika Catchings, Kim Mulkey, Baylor head coach is going to be there. Rudy Tomjanovich is there. Eddie Sutton is there. So there's a lot of good other non-NBA players, but I'm going to focus solely on the NBA players for this. There are two other classes that would compete. One would be the class of 2009. That is Michael Jordan, David Robinson, and John Stockton. And then the one that I'm leaning towards being the only one that would compete is 1980, which is Oscar Robertson, Jerry the Logo West, and Jerry Lucas. I agree this is the best class. I mean, you get Kobe and Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett all together. Whew, that's great. But those two other ones do have a say. But man, that's a great class of Hall of Famers. Let me tell you.
Oh man, this is, I think this is the best class ever. Just because you're looking at three guys with the, you know, and really if you throw Shaq in there, you look, these are really the four guys that define the 2000s. And Allen Iverson, you know, to me, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe, Allen Iverson, Tim Duncan. These guys are who define, you know, the Kevin Garnett, they define the 2000s. You know, anything from after Jordan retired until, you know, LeBron start really winning championships, this was their NBA. And, man, like the battles that we got between the two of them, like, man, just Tim Duncan and KG. KG is so incredibly jealous of Tim Duncan. He feels like he's a better player than Duncan. He's more athletic than Duncan, but for whatever reason, he's the one that got all the championships. He's the one that got all the accolades as being the leader. He's the one that everybody kind of praised as being the greatest power forward of all time. And KG is looking like, bro, like I could run circles around Tim Duncan. And
not really.
You look at their numbers against each other. I'm looking at their head-to-head numbers. Tim Duncan, 19 points, 11.9 rebounds a game. Let's see, 1.9 blocks. KG, 19.5, man, 10.4 rebounds a game. Still the exact same as far as 1.9 blocks. Like they were
really 8.9 blocks. Whoa.
Seriously, as different as they were as players, they couldn't have been any more similar as far as, you know, what they had to do to for their teams to be successful and everything. And KG just got put in a bad situation with, man, a lot of times, man, bad point guards, a lot of bad, not bad teammates, but just not a lot of star power around him. Tim Duncan played for the most stable organization in all of basketball for the past 30 years.
I think Tim Duncan may be the most underrated player in NBA history.
He's he's one of my two favorite players of all time. Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, my two favorite players
ever. Ah, so you're biased about this class.
Yes, absolutely. 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 Tim Duncan is easily the most disrespected player of all
time. He's not disrespected.
No, listen, we talk about him. We only bring him up when we talk
everyone
about the
loves
best
Tim
power
Duncan.
Forward of all time. People don't love Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan is vanilla and boring. And the one thing we don't like.
Okay, love was the wrong word. I meant people all respect Tim Duncan's game. That's a good way to put it.
You know when you respect him? The finals.
Honestly, when I ended up respecting the Spurs and not hating them anymore was when they won the 4-1 Miami Heat finals. Because they straight up dominated them in that final.
It was the same thing for Tony Parker. For a long time, when he was a really good point guard, nobody bought Tony Parker's name up until the playoffs. Until the finals came, it was like, damn, Tony Parker's cold. Why can't anybody stop him? Like, same thing for Tim Duncan. You look at his little 21 points a game and 10 rebounds and go, that's regular, right, for a power forward. You're supposed to do that out there. And no, you don't think about how dominant he was. Man, he was the only person not named, and he was old, but my guy, I'm spacing right now. Played for Portland forever. Arvydas Sabonis was the only person that could really.
Say,
I'm spacing right now. Sabonis is the only person that really gave Shaq a problem. Like, as far as, like, and mind you, Shaq would dominate Arvydas Sabonis, but Sabonis made it hard for him because he could pull him out to three, give him a pump faker and everything, and then drive.
So you're saying he was like the Myers Leonard to DeMarcus Cousins?
Yes. For whatever reason, Boogie can't figure out Myers Leonard, and Myers Leonard had great games against him.
And Boogie hates Myers.
And Boogie hates Myers, but for whatever reason, that's the way Shaq would play, or Arvydas Sabonis would play against Shaq. Man, outside of that, Tim Duncan would give Shaq the business when they played each other. Man, 22 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, 1.4 blocks a game against the Diesel. You know, so Duncan is one of those dudes that we kind of forget about, and then you're like, damn, he does have five championships, don't he? He does have two MVP awards. He does have three finals.
He was Mr. Reliable under the basket. He played good defense. He was a great lead by example kind of guy. And I mean, I guess, frankly, a great leader. I mean, he's coaching for the Spurs now. He's an assistant. And
he's got dreads now?
When the season was still going on, he does. When the season was still going on, Popovich had to miss a game due to an emergency, and he coached the game. And like, he picked Tim Duncan to be the head coach of that game, which was kind of cool. So I think Tim Duncan's a great player. I loved Tim Duncan I watched the NBA growing up.
He was awesome.
I kind of, maybe it's because I like Derek Jeter, but I always liked the guys who were leading by example more than leading by being vocal.
And that
I always
KG's
kind of appreciated
thing.
That.
And that was KG's thing. KG was a vocal. KG is one of them dudes that he made it really hard.
He seemed
like
a mean
him.
Guy.
He would openly say he would bully the rookies. He would, you know, he didn't like Tim Duncan just basically because they played the same position. and I don't like you. You know, so KG, remember, he went through this whole thing where he didn't talk to Ray Allen, still doesn't talk to Ray Allen because Ray Allen went to Miami. It was like, you weren't offering me a contract, man. I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, so I was supposed to go to weak-ass Charlotte just to make you guys feel better or give myself a chance to win another championship, which Ray Allen ended up doing. So he can say, and I think he's jealous a little bit of that. As great as KG is, man, there's a little jealousy there because Ray Allen can say, I am a two-time NBA champion, and KG can only say, and KG and Paul Pierce are only saying, yeah, I've won that one. And I think that wasn't the plan for them. But that said, you tell me somebody more intense than KG. You tell me somebody that you would want to play with more than Kevin Garnett.
Like, I was going to say intensity, Patrick Beverly, maybe.
I was going to say, wasn't
Tony Allen.
None of them dudes are Kevin Garnett.
Wasn't this last Wednesday the story I shared about Kevin Garnett and Charlie Villanueva?
Called him a cancer patient.
Yeah, share it again for those who don't listen on Wednesdays.
Yeah, Charlie Villanueva has a very distinguished look because he has the condition where he grows no hair and he's completely bald everywhere. And it was when he was playing for the Raptors, I think, or something. And KG tells him, "You're a cancer patient. You look like a cancer patient." Charlie Villanueva goes to the news with it, tells people that's what he said, and KG's backtrack was, no, I said you were a cancer to your team.
No.
Right.
What I was saying.
KG, you
weren't a cancer patient. Remember, you're just a terrible teammate.
He's known for putting his foot in his mouth a lot. Do you remember that time where it was the middle of the war? The war had just started, I believe. And KG is talking about, we're about to go to war. I'm about to get the pump. I'm about to get the Uzis and the everything.
Oh,
and then
they're
like, yeah, bro, like that's not the timing, man. Timing is everything. And then Vlade Divac, whose country just happened to be going through a really terrible war at that time, was like, man, he doesn't know what war is. He don't know nothing about war. So I don't want to hear anything you're talking about. And then he came out, was like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. It was this. Like, KG is known for kind of doing that. But when you're as good as he is, say what you want to.
I was going to say, he does a great job at keeping that hood on his head, too. I don't know how he does it.
I know. It looks like it's falling off every time you look at it, but
I'm convinced he has a strip of Velcro on his head,
just like a little
and
yarmulke.
The hood, and he just, like, Velcros it.
There's a small yarmulke back there, you know what I'm saying? And that's what
the little clips.
It just hangs from the side, you know, so that's...
But if he doesn't have any hair, you keep the yarmulke in your head with the little clips on the side. That's how you keep it on your head.
That's what I'm saying. He's using a piece of Velcro on both on the hood and his head to keep it...
It's hard to keep a yarmulke or a kippah on your head.
I'm going to try one day.
I have experience.
I think the one part of the Hall of Fame that we're kind of missing that kind of rounds it out as far as being, in my opinion, is the best class. Well, outside of, you know, the late Kobe Bryant, who you don't need to explain Kobe. We've been talking about Kobe's greatness for the past, you know, two, three months now. We don't really.
And you especially have been a huge Kobe supporter on the show.
Kobe is, in my opinion, the best, one of the best ever. My favorite of all time, so you don't have to hear me talk about why he deserves to go in there. But Rudy Tomjanovich, that's the guy that when you look, you talked about Jerry Sloan. Rudy Tomjanovich did what Jerry Sloan couldn't, and he actually won two championships. And he actually took a team that outside of Hakeem Olajuwon, you could probably look at this roster and say, not the best championship roster that you've ever seen before. You know, really a young Robert Horry who never developed into like a superstar player, a young Camp Sam Cassell, rookie Sam Cassell, who, you know, I think was a one-time All-Star, maybe twice. I'm trying to think of who else was on that team. Kenny Smith, the Jet. You know, we best know him from his time on Inside the NBA.
But yeah, that's the funny thing is of those three, he's the one least known for his basketball.
Exactly, you know, but and of those three, like, he's got two championships. He beat Shaq in the finals, you know, so he took that team to a championship and then did it again the following year. And he beat the two big men that were supposed to be, like, the best in the league as far as first beating Patrick Ewing, and that was right in the middle of the OJ chase and everything like that. You remember that game? Game one, cut out the finals to go to OJ. And then the next year, he goes out and dominates Shaquille O'Neal. Completely dominates Shaquille O'Neal. So it was one of those things, man. Rudy Tomjanovich, I feel like he should have been in there a lot sooner. But, you know, he's since passed on and everything, so he won't obviously get a chance to make a speech. But he's somebody that should have been in there a long time ago. I'm trying to figure out why it took them so long to add Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yeah, I don't know how the voting for these things works. And when it's not a specific sport, it's a league, it's like actual sports Hall of Fame, where they add in the WNBA and coaches. And I feel like they have different requirements for all of those. So I'm not really sure how that works. But anyway, so yeah, this year's class is going to be Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, arguably the greatest of all time.
Thanks for the memories, guys. You made my 2000s. You made high school and college for me awesome. So good luck to those dudes, man.
Coming up next, it is time for a Joe Fish edition of Hate It or Love It. But first, he has a Sports Center update.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That music means it is time for Hate It or Love It. Joe Fish in, and we'll be doing it today.
So from what I understand...
Yes.
...is if I like what you have to say...
Correct.
...I give you that. And if I don't like what you have to say...
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Tally the points over the three questions. And
then whoever wins gets to host the last segment.
Nice.
And Rashad's actually been on a good streak lately. I think he's won like five of the last seven or eight. So he's got a good winning percentage going right now. And you do not have to stick with sports at the moment. I told this to Jesse. I said, if you want to just bring up random things, let's have at it. Like random food things or books or movies or anything that you're doing or interested in, because frankly, there's not a lot of like hot debate in sports right now. So
it'd been nice to know.
Well, you can go off the cuff. I trust you.
Well, I
believe in you.
I would have to go off the cuff off the top of my head because I did prepare three sportsy ones.
Okay, that's fine. We can do three sportsy ones.
And our first one is NFL draft related. They have mentioned that the draft will happen. It's probably going to be a somewhat of a virtual digital video conferencing call draft, which will be interesting to see how that transpires. How bad would it be if like the clock ran out for a team and like their connection was lost on the internet and they couldn't give up their pick and they're like,
oh, well, it's gonna happen.
It might be a mess. Who knows? But with the Patriots not having a quarterback no longer, Tom Brady moving on to Tampa Bay, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that could be drafted in the first round. So therefore, hate it or love it, the Patriots will trade up in the first round for a quarterback.
Ooh, is that me or you?
You can go for it.
Okay. I hate it. That's the one thing that Belichick never really does is trade up into the draft. They have such a good scouting department in New England to where they figure, we feel that we have a pretty good scouting department in New England. We usually go defensive linemen or offensive linemen usually around these times, running backs, receivers. I can't remember the last time we've taken a receiver in the first round. There's really been no big need to take quarterbacks, obviously, because you've got Brady. But when you have got quarterbacks, they've been Matt Castle and they've been Jimmy Garoppolo and they've been Jacoby Brissett, all three of which have been starting quarterbacks in the NFL at some point during their careers. I think the Patriots are going to look for that guy in the second round. I think we know some of the, unless Tua is going to fall into the draft and fall, I want to say the Patriots are what, probably like right around 23, 24 or something like that. So if Tua can fall in the draft, then yes, I can see Bill Belichick going ahead and taking a chance on him. But I also don't see Bill Belichick as somebody who wants a rookie quarterback right now, wants a young guy. I could see him wanting somebody like a Cam Newton because that would completely change the offense that he's had. We've even heard some talk about Jameis Winston, because I think he could do wonders for Jameis, but I still think Jameis is an idiot and he's going to throw certain interceptions he doesn't need to throw and whatnot. So I think there's going to be other avenues outside of moving up in the draft. So if they do move up, expect them to move up in rounds, like maybe package some third and fourth round guys for maybe a second round pick or third, but I don't think he's actually going to move up in the first.
Everything the Patriots have built over the last 10, 15 years has not had to do with trading up in the draft. Everything they do is they stockpile late picks, they get a lot of value guys, and they try to get guys who fit their system who are cheaper so that they can keep guys like Tom Brady before he left. All the reports are that they're going to stick with the three guys they have on the team now. They're going to stick with Stidham, and they're going to stick with Brian Hoyer, and they're going to maybe draft a guy late in the first round or early in the second round and give them all a chance to fight. I honestly think that this is an opportunity for Bill Belichick to do one of two things. One, he could frankly suck for a year and then go get Trevor Lawrence. If they're really bad and Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick in the draft, he can use a lot of the assets that they have. They can do that and they can make that move. nobody's going to be surprised if the Patriots, after last year being bad on offense and being a beneficiary of a good schedule, suck when Tom Brady leaves for a year. The other thing is what Rashad mentioned. I mean, I'll just kind of agree with his point there, is there are still quarterbacks on the market. I mean, Cam Newton's out there, Jameis Winston's out there. You got guys who could help that team right away. I imagine Josh McDaniels with a guy like Cam Newton would be really, really happy. I mean, he made Tim Tebow work in Denver for a little bit. So I could see that being a move that they make as well, but it just seems to go against and away from everything the Patriots have done in the past. So I will say hate that they will not trade up in the draft.
Okay. And moving on to a former coach who beat Bill Belichick a couple times, once in the playoffs, a couple times in the regular seasons, Rex Ryan. He went on the record, I believe, on Friday, talking about Amari Cooper and his deal. And if you haven't heard the audio, I have it for you right now.
I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against, when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd.
He called him a turd. Now, I will say, over the last few months, I have been calling people turds more often, and it's fun. It's a nice backhanded insult that isn't over the line, but just enough to get to him. You're a turd. No one likes to be called a turd. But Rex Ryan going after my boy, Amari Cooper, one of the best route running receivers in the league. Hate it or love it, Rex Ryan is a turd.
I mean, you love. Yeah, he is a turd. Rex Ryan is a turd. He also loves feet a lot. And he has a picture of feet on his tattooed on his body. His wife's feet, right? Although, to be honest, Rex Ryan's a turd, and that's different. I kind of agree with him about Amari Cooper.
How dare you?
I kind of do. Amari Cooper's good. He's really good. But he's wildly inconsistent. I mean, he wants to be considered one of the best receivers in the game and get paid like that. But then you need to go put up Michael Thomas numbers instead. Then you got to put up Julio Jones numbers instead, where every game you're getting 10 catches and 120 yards receiving. I mean, that's almost every single game for the elite receivers in the league. Amari Cooper will have games like that. He had four games over 100 yards last year, including the massive 226-yard receiving game against the Packers in week 5. But he also had a game where he had 3 yards and 0 yards and 48 yards and 24 yards and 19 yards. He is wildly inconsistent. I don't know about the whole home road split thing that Rex Ryan was bringing up. I don't have enough time to research that and actually see if he's better at home versus on the road. But I've always thought of Amari Cooper as like a tier 2 or 3 receiver, and he wants a lot of money. So I don't know if he's a turd, but I do kind of agree that he's not worth the money that in terms of what Rex Ryan was saying.
I hate it.
You hate that Rex Ryan's a turd?
Oh yeah. Rex Ryan's totally a turd. He's an idiot. I love that Rex Ryan is turd, but I hate that he would say these things about, man, Amari Cooper. Let's just be real, man. Like, Amari Cooper hasn't been in the greatest situation as far as having a great quarterback throw to him. Derek Carr is a good quarterback, but Derek Carr isn't a great quarterback. But let me give you these numbers anyway. First year in the league, 1,067 yards. Second year in the league, 1,153. Third year in the league, he was kind of hurt, so he missed that mark. Fourth year in the league, 1,000 yards. Fifth year in the league, he ended up being traded. He still had over 1,000 yards. This past year, over 1,000 yards. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing as a receiver. And every situation he goes to, he has a subpar quarterback, a guy that's just okay. Looks like you're a Cowboy fan. I don't have to tell you about Dak Prescott and how he's just a middle-of-the-road at best quarterback. What do you think Derek Carr was? A middle-of-the-road at best quarterback who had one really good year. And a lot of the reasons he had that one good year is because, man, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, and some of those other guys they had in place there, man, helped him develop. Man, he's been in situations to where he's had, man, crap quarterbacks. So you're getting crap production. But if 1,000 yards a year is crap production, I'll take that all day. That's somebody I might not pay top dollar for, but I'm not going to be mad about paying him because he's going to give you 1,000 yards. And I don't know how many, I'm trying to see how many touchdowns he had.
I believe he had 7 last year.
Get out of here.
He had 8 last year, yeah.
I mean, just being someone that watches the Cowboys, from when before they had him to when they got him. It's a completely different offense. It's the number one offense in the league last year.
Eight touchdowns.
Thank you to Kellen Moore, right?
Eight touchdowns last year. You know,
5 of them in the first 5 weeks, though.
I mean, I'll give you that. But he still had 8 of them. Doesn't matter when I had him. You know what I'm saying? I had 8 of them, and I had 1,000 yards.
Well, so I think that, to Rex Ryan's point,
that's
got to
be worth something, right? So yards aren't worth anything. As a wide receiver, 1,000 yards a year, that's not the mark that you want to reach. You want 100 catches, about 1,000 yards. So if I can get 1,000 yards in less than 100 catches, you're in the mix. Just saying.
All right. And on to our last one, another NFL-related one. In my updates, I've been saying that the Cleveland Browns are the potential third team jumping into the Jadeveon Clowney race there, and we'll make this a quick one.
It's Seahawks, Titans, Browns, right?
Right. Hate it or love it, Clowney will go to the Cleveland Browns. Sources have said that they made quite the impression and might be the top suitor at this point.
I think you're up first, right?
Is it me?
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I think Seahawk fans would rather Jadeveon Clowney stayed in the 206 and make sure they can do stuff from there. But Clowney is somebody who's really blossomed into a great man linebacker / defensive end. He can do a little bit of everything. And if you pair him with somebody like Myles Garrett on that defense from the Browns, man, you've got a hell of a front line if you're Cleveland, man. The problem with Cleveland, a lot of which came from the offense. Freddie Kitchens isn't a great offensive mind, and so that was a big issue. But defense, man, they had a problem stopping people a lot of the time. And then when Myles Garrett got suspended, you didn't have a pass rush all of a sudden. You getting somebody like Jadeveon Clowney gives you a pass rush. It gives you a nice run stopper and everything like that. So I think it's a great idea for him to go there. Cleveland, you can tell they're trying to build a culture of winning. They're trying to really stockpile a lot of names at this point. You've got the Landrys and Odell Beckham, and obviously, you know, Myles Garrett. You add somebody like Jadeveon Clowney on paper, that makes Cleveland an instant competitor. You know, that makes them an instant competitor for their division right there in the AFC. So I love it. I would love him staying in Seattle more, but I love him going to Cleveland. It feels like Cleveland fits his personality.
I hate it. I really feel like the Seahawks would be making a big mistake if they let him walk. And I understand that when you look at his statistics from last year, they don't jump off the page at you as an impactful pass rusher. When he was in Houston his last 2 years prior, he had 9.5 and 9 sacks in each of those years, almost 60 tackles 1 year, had 21 tackles for loss and 16 tackles for loss. Last year, he played in 13 games. He only had 3 sacks. He only had 31 tackles. He had 7 tackles for loss, 13 quarterback hits. The numbers were down from peak Jadeveon Clowney. But if you watch the Seahawks play, he made an impact in every single one of those games. And Seattle, still, I think, with Pete Carroll, needs to keep a little bit of that defensive grittiness that they've had when they had the Legion of Boom and the good defense. There's only so much Bobby Wagner can do. And keeping a guy like Jadeveon Clowney as you rebuild the back end of that defense and you get a bunch of young guys in who are going to take the spots that have now been vacated by Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman and all those guys, you still need some star power in there. And Jadeveon Clowney is that star power. So they cut some of these. They made some cuts, the Seahawks did, maybe clearing some money to try to give Clowney some money. He also reduced his price from 20 mil to about 17 to 18 mil. So I hate it. I don't think the Browns are the best fit. I think the Seahawks are the best fit, and I think they need to put up a little money to get him to stay.
All right. There's your hater to love it. And I don't know, do I hit some sort of music celebratory?
Yeah, there's something? A winner sound right here, the green one. You hit that.
Ah, there you go. And our winner is Michael Lynch.
Ooh.
I think it was the Rex Ryan feet references that pushed you over the edge. I would have docked Rashad a point because he called Dak a crap quarterback.
Where's the lie?
But, I mean,
facts,
I, some,
the kids say,
I somewhat tend to agree with him sometimes on that.
All right.
Sometimes,
so. Well, we'll wrap this show up next here on Sort of Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
It feels good to win again. You've been winning a lot the last few months.
Well, you know,
I noticed Joe was a little bit more picky with the points than Jesse had been, so that means we're going to have to try harder. That's all.
Yeah, that's all it is. And Joe just took his hat off for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're seeing the mop now.
I'm seeing the Joe Exotic look. Let's go.
I like
go.
The flock of seagulls, man.
Dude, it's pretty bad.
Like, how far down is it down your neck? Is it going to the top of your back there? Oh, my God.
It's extending.
You look like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Dude, it's
yes,
getting...
Yes, you do look like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
It's getting to a point where I have...
That is a great comparison.
I got to make a decision here soon because I can't take it anywhere to get styled. And I do have a pair of wall clippers, you know, so I can...
Man.
I can give myself the one, the two, whatever I want to go with.
You just you can just shave it all off, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen,
but,
barbers, if you're out there...
Do you do house calls?
Who?
Barbers. Some barbers out there. Maybe
if you're
some
out
will.
There and you do house calls, man, at TaylorMade503. That's also my Instagram.
At
and hey,
JoeFish3.
You know, let's just let help us out, man. We need your help. Like we're sorry that we ever took you for granted. Maybe didn't tip as much, you know, maybe didn't come to see you as often as we should have. But from all the men to all the barbers, man, help.
I'm sure the ladies are feeling the same way, by the way.
Help us,
you know,
please.
See, a lot of ladies, man, you can just fix that whole thing with a ponytail, some girls can put on a bonnet, like you can wrap your hair. Like, I mean, there's ways to get around it. We live in this era where ladies wear wigs, lots of wigs and everything. Like, that's a normal part of fashion now. It's not like a
thanks, Kardashian clan.
Yeah, it's not like a Halloween thing anymore. Like, no, you're seeing pink and purple wigs out there like it's on a regular Tuesday. So it's happening. But guys, there's no hiding this. There's only a hat.
Rashad, your hair looks fine.
Man, listen, man. Les, to you, it looks fine. This is a cultural thing, bro. Like, I can't go anywhere with this without a lineup, bro.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
You tried to do the line yourself?
I'm not lining myself up. That's how you end up messing, because your hair doesn't grow back like that. So the minute it goes here and right here in the corner of my hair.
Yeah, I see there's a little.
That has to be. That's for a professional.
Mm.
That's not for me to do. Now, I can do my beard and my stuff, man, no problem. But my hair, like, nah, man. I need somebody that went to barber school. I could. I'm not gonna. Again.
So you're scared of trying, is what you're saying.
Yes. If I mess my hair up, like, I just can't wipe it away and go.
That hair will grow back. It's like the beard. The hair will grow back.
You look ridiculous. I look ridiculous. You look ridiculous. Bad lineups can kill your haircut. I can tell you this. You've got a lineup before?
I have not.
There you go. Joe, you've been to a black barbershop or at least somewhere?
No, I'm white, so yeah, so, I just give me
no,
the one.
No, I'm white.
Give me the one or two and just buzz it all off.
Listen, I'm going to tell you guys this. I'm going to just one time, man, take yourself to a black barbershop.
That's what I was considering up until this point. I was asking around, like, hey, I want a barber. And people are like, oh, why don't you go to sports? No, I want a barber.
The hairlines, the everything are so intense and so on point. Like, I leave the barbershop all the time feeling the most confident that I've ever felt. Every single time I leave, I'm like, yes, I can tackle the world after I get my haircut and that lineup. So
you want to talk about what your just really aggressive point just was right there?
No, what a great aggressive point. The boats are out there on the water. That's what we saw.
Social distance boats.
Saw a really nice boat.
Hmm.
Nice sails.
Nice back end of the boat.
Yeah. Right. Love the jib.
Starboard port. All up and up. Up and good. Yeah, that's the thing, is that's something I haven't had to think about because I got lucky with the timing of it where I just went before everything closed. But my hair long is awful. Awful. But I've never buzzed my hair either. That's a weird thing. I've always had my hair. It's my hair. I'm very protective of it. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to reach out to my barber and see what she says about, like, do you do house calls? Like, can I meet you at your house?
They're going to be charging through the roof. And guess what?
Like, can we wash our hands in front of each other and, like, Clorox things down and just be like, look, let's get this done.
A hazmat suit that only exposes the top of your head.
Man, I feel like Will Smith and I Am Legend. Like, I can provide food and water and drinks. Like, please come and cut my hair if you're out there. If anybody's out there, like, please, man, I need your help. So, yes, man, the barbers, that's something that's going to pop off big. Like, that's going to be packed. The minute this quarantine is over, the barbershops are going to be flooded.
Absolutely.
Same with maternity wards.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Man, there's going to be a lot of December babies out here named Corn.
Corona,
yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. I want to say I saw that there was a couple
virus
that named their kids Corona and COVID.
Yeah, that was floating around social media. It was, yeah. I can't remember the details of it, but it was, yeah, they had twins, and one was Corona and one was COVID, and it was like, yeah.
That's peak America right there, right?
I don't know if it was in America. I think that's the difference.
I pray not. Please don't be.
Well, I mean, wherever it is, don't name your kids after a virus, a pandemic. Come on now. And the thought process is going to be like, my kid's going to be like a killer. It's going to be coronavirus. That's the name of the kid. It's like, no, don't name your kid that.
My kid's sick.
COVID. Please don't do that. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back next week, 9 to 11. And
we will
continue to bring as much sports and non-sports fun that we can for you throughout the rest of the weeks as we go through. Yes, stay safe. Be smart. If you got to go to work, just do smart things like wear Clorox and everything down every time we come into these studios. And just be smart. If you start feeling sick, don't go places. Protect yourself. Protect your loved ones. Have a very good rest of your weekend. Good luck next week with your working from home or whatever it is that you're doing. And we'll see you next Sunday, 9 to 11 a.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.